I just love that song, and I didn't realize that it was written in the 80s. I've heard kind of more contemporary version of that song by Selah. She brought to my attention that it was from the 80s, but I know that song. But it's just a wonderful song. It talks about, you know, things in this world won't satisfy our soul, and that what our soul really longs for is to know God. And so a lot of issues, a lot of reason why we sin is because we want to be God, and we're trying to fill that void of what God wants to fill in our lives. And so just think about that. What are some things in your life that you may be tempted to kind of stray from God or try to fill it in your life? Because really what our hearts need is the Lord. Because the Lord is the Lord of our life, and he's the King of our hearts. And so just think about that this morning. What are some things in your life that may be keeping you from God? Today we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Kind of taking a break from the Christmas season. I know it's interesting. We're not moving on from Christmas. As I said, we celebrate Christmas every day, and Easter for that matter. But as we enter the new year, I kind of just want to get our hearts right for, you know, what God's going to do in the new year. A new year is a chance to have a new beginning. And so I'm going to be preaching about the Christian life. We're all a work in progress. And so hence the construction worker. We're all at work. God is all at work in our lives, and that's okay. And so let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. So about this time of year, we start thinking about resolutions, right? Think about New Year's resolutions. Whether it be losing 50 pounds we had to put on or put off from the past year. So I have to go before a reserve chaplain board in February, and I'm not physically fit to go for the board. And so tomorrow I start a journey of losing weight of this glorious, and this is sarcastic, weight loss program called Optavia. And it seems like it's going to be really hard, but the Lord will get me through it, and his grace is sufficient, so I can get through it. But it's always like really weird shakes, and Jeannie can attest she went through the program. She told me that if I just stay to the exact measurements and I take the weird shakes and all these weird meals, I'll be okay. And so pray with me the month of January that I stick to this plan, because I really don't want to. But I know I have to, so pray for me. So despite our good intentions of wanting to change for the better, we often fall short of our goals. Why? Sometimes we don't have a well-thought-out plan of how to accomplish our goals, or we lack discipline. That's probably the latter is probably the one we most struggle with the most. We may go to the gym for a while, we try to lose weight, and then we try a weight loss fad like Optavia, and we may succeed for a bit, but we may get discouraged and give up when we don't see improvement. I know weight loss is definitely a journey that can be discouraging. The Christian life is no different. We may set goals of spending time with God, we want to sin less, We maybe want to memorize more scripture or attend the weekly Bible study. It's a shout out to attend our Bible study. But if God is not at the center of wanting to change, we'll always fall short. To clarify, the strength that we need to overcome these obstacles is reliance on God. Resolutions are good, but God should always be included in things we want to change about ourselves. So realistically, why do you want to change? Do you think that there's something wrong with your appearance? Do you lack an ability or inadequate with your relationship, with your family, or your job? The truth is, we all have flaws and shortcomings. We know in Romans chapter, I think it's chapter 5, there's a lot of scriptures that are very similar, so those get mixed up in my head, but the Apostle Paul writes in Romans that we've all have sinned, 6:23, yeah, chapter 6, verse 23, that we've all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we all have shortcomings. So the question is, why do you want to change? However, as we age and we grow in our walk with the Lord, we should want to sin less in common areas of temptation. We'll never be free from sin, but as we age in our walk with the Lord, we should want to not sin. We will always be prone to sin because of our nature in this world. But because of God's grace for our lives, I know this might sound redundant, but you and I are our own worst enemies. We often look down on ourselves, look down on our self-worth. I know this is one of my biggest issues. I struggle with self-worth and identity. We look down on ourselves through our thoughts that often lead to sin. Negative thoughts usually lead to sin, but just because we haven't achieved our greatest goals in life doesn't mean that we are failures. King David, the greatest king of all, who we'll be talking about this morning, was the greatest king of Israel, outside of his great-great-great-great-great-grandson, Jesus. He dealt with many sin issues that we face, and God dealt with him and redeemed him. In fact, God chose King David as the king of the Jews in 1 Samuel chapter 16. because of his heart for the Lord and how he sought to live a life worthy of pursuing him, not because he was the fittest warrior or the most handsome, the most strongest warrior. God chose him because of his heart for God and the way he sought to care for the Lord and for those in his leadership. So today we'll be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, and study what it means for God to look inward at a man's heart, not outward at our appearance. So, read with me as we read 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. I'll start back in verse 1 so we give you some context. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I rejected him as king over Israel?" So, just some context to clarify what happened in the previous chapters. So, if you know the Bible story of King Saul, King Saul started out well. He was God's chosen, and then he kind of got arrogant and kind of got pompous and made it all about him, and he wanted to be God as king. And so God took away his throne and gave it to King David. So this is the backstory to this. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I rejected him as king? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, and Jesse is King David's dad. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer," which is a cow, "with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to sacrifice, and I'll show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked him, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord is anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance for his height, for I rejected him. The Lord does not look at things of man, but the Lord rather looks at the outward appearance, and he looks at the heart." Does it look at the outward appearance? Let me read that again, I messed that up. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider the appearance or his height." Remember, King Saul was like the most handsome king that Israel ever saw. "For I rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks inward at the heart." So you see, King Saul committed one of the greatest, sins of all. He sacrificed a cow, or I forget exactly, to God. He's not a priest, so he kind of like took this like arrogant posture of saying, "Hey, I can do this thing, whatever, because I'm the king." And God removed King Saul's throne and gave it to King David. If you back up a little bit in 1 Samuel 13, verse 13 through 14, the Lord says to King Saul, "You acted foolishly. You have not kept the command that the Lord your God gave you. If you had had, you would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." And so what had happened, as I mentioned, the King Saul offered a sacrifice before battle, and it was not his role to do that. And so it was actually the priest who actually offered sacrifice in the Old Testament. And he thought because of his stature and who he was as a king, he could do whatever he want. Well, he broke God's law, and therefore God kicked him out. So, enough said. So, my main point today was that King David was obedient to God because he cared about the heart of God. Unlike Saul, King David sought to please the Lord with every aspect of his life. Though he had major shortcomings, we know the Bible story that King David struggled with many issues that men maybe struggle with lust or just pride. King David sought, I don't know if it was intentional at first, but he sought out Bathsheba in a wrong way. He saw her bathing. And then because of his sinful lust for her, he had her husband killed in battle, where King David actually should have been in his place in battle. And then on top of that, he had committed adultery with her. So it doesn't paint the picture of a godly king, right? Well, he sought repentance and was redeemed, unlike Saul, because King David wasn't a brash and arrogant king. His heart was with God, regardless of where he sinned. So where's your heart? That's my question this morning. Are you walking with God because you actually love him like King David? Are you trying to check the box and try to get to heaven? God knows our true hearts. So why are you following him? Is it because you realize you can't make it through this life on your own and you need his strength to get through this dark world? Or do you simply just want to do enough to get to heaven? Because you won't get to heaven doing that. The latter will not get you into heaven. We will not get into heaven by simply being good. We get to heaven because of accepting God's grace, redemptive grace, by following and submitting to his authority in our lives. The way we do this is through understanding God's word and in prayer. Look at King David's spiritual life. The whole book of Psalms is his spiritual life. King David intentionally sought to know God, and the book of Psalms is his heart for God. The book specifically talks about what he's struggling with, what he's dealing with at the time, and what he's praising God or questioning him about. He went to God and realized that he cannot live life on his own. His life was surrendered to the love, the strength, and the power of the Lord Lord God. Be the Lord Jesus, because Jesus is God. Despite his shortcomings, King David realized that his identity and his purpose was in God's plan for his life. He pressed forward in seeking God, even when he stumbled in sin, and sought God for forgiveness and repented and moved on, as we see in Psalm 51. Let's turn there real quick at Psalm 51 and see King David's change of heart. Psalm 51. This is what the King David says to God, and this is after he sinned with Bathsheba. King David says, "Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from sin." This doesn't seem like an arrogant king. It seems like a king who is remorseful and sorry for what had happened. "For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only, Lord, have I sinned. And I have done what is evil in your sight. So you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, and surely you desire truth in the most inward parts. You teach me wisdom in the most inmost place." So listen to this. King David doesn't just ask for forgiveness from his sin that he just committed. He goes back and says, "Lord, I've been a sinner since I've been born." And that's true for all of us. We were born into sin, regardless if we want to or not. That's just the world we inherited because of Adam and Eve's sin, many generations ago. King David goes on to say, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow." And if I know we don't have snow right now in December, Pennsylvania, we should. I know it's been an interesting couple of years with our world with winter weather. But just imagine how clean, fresh, fallen snow is. And that's how clean Jesus wants to make us from our sin. He wants to make us whiter than snow. King David goes on to say, "Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you've crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, O Lord, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit with me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." So you see here, what was the issue with King Saul? He didn't repent. He didn't, because I think King Saul didn't actually care about God. He didn't actually care about the heart of God or making him known or praiseworthy. On the other hand, King David actually did. So it's interesting, did Saul start out on the right track? Well, sure. But he let arrogance and pride kind of get in the way of him being king and leading Israel. See, Israel was never supposed to have a king because the Lord God is their king. But because of selfish desires, they wanted a king to rule. And you see throughout the Bible that they've had many kings. Some are good. Some relatives of King David were great. But Jesus is the greatest king of all because he's God. God is supposed to be the king and ruler of our hearts. But you see from the beginning of the Bible, they always wanted a leader. They always wanted someone that they picked, but they want to follow God. So you look at the judges. The judges are the same thing. They have their shortcomings, like Samson was probably one of the greatest judges that ever ruled in Israel. But he had his shortcomings. He struggled with sin, and God, convicted him of that. But you look at all these judges, and they do good, but they're missing the point of God, that God was supposed to be king. So God kind of didn't appease the people. We said, "Fine, you're not going to follow me. I'll send an earthly person to you." And so it's just sad that our hearts are like that too. We often want to be God. It's just our nature. We don't realize that, but that's why we sin, because we want selfless gain for ourselves. And so just think about that this morning. Why are you, struggling with sin? So what is your resolution to know God? Is to know him to be better? Is it to grow him to be more in love with him? Is it to be a better friend or neighbor? To share the gospel with your unbelieving family or friends? These are all good goals, but realize that if our hearts are not in it for the right reason, we won't accomplish it, even if it's intended to glorify God. We need to make sure God's in it. We need to make sure we are seeking him in the right purpose. Is it because we love him, or is it just because we want to know him, or we want to know enough to get to heaven? Because we won't get to heaven that way. Ponder that as we take this away this morning. Do I want to know Jesus and grow my faith with him, or do I just want to get to know him to do enough to get by? Friends, don't miss the journey that Christ has for you. Don't settle just because you feel inadequate in your faith, or you feel like, God, I don't know if I can grow with you in my walk. Perhaps it's because you feel this way. Perhaps you feel this way because you have a hard time praying or studying Scripture. God will help you in these areas if you let him. I'll leave you with this. When you feel you are crumbling beneath the pressure of your circumstances, cry out to God and receive his strength and peace. Allow God's presence to take over. Let him love you as King David did. Even in his sin, he let God's amazing love and grace wash over him, and he stood redeemed in front of God. Is this your heart this morning? God knows your heart. Come to him, and he'll give you rest and peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I know this was a short sermon, Lord, but I believe that you've spoken. God, I believe that you're challenging us, Lord, to get right with you, Lord, because there'll come a day where we stand before you, judgment day, Lord, of what, you know, we've done wrong. But, Lord, we know that your grace is sufficient. Lord, we know that you came for sinners and died for sinners. And, Lord, I pray that that regardless of what we're facing, what we're feeling, we know, Lord, that we can be redeemed because you did redeem us. And, Lord, the Christian life is a marathon, Lord. It's not just a one-time thing. Yes, we're saved at the point of conversion when we believe that you died for us. But, Lord, it's a journey. Lord, we know that sanctification is a process. And it's a process of being made more and more like you. And, Lord, we know that we won't be free from sin till we go home to be with you. But I pray, God, that as we get to know you more through your word or through prayer or through fellowship, that we'd want to sin less. God, we'd want more of you and want less of this world. Because, Lord, that you're the what matters. And, God, as we move into a new season and a new chapter of our lives in 2022, I pray, Lord, that we'd want more of you, God, because you're what really matters. And, Lord, I pray that that we'd just seek your heart more this year. And that's just my prayer and my challenge for all of you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.